what we're talking about in this session, there's a whole section in your AP bio books about how we evolved from our ancestors are monkeys. Ah. And basically everything we're talking about in this session, you will need to write everything down because you will be taught that this is proof of evolution when it's absolutely not. And you need to write this down. We'll be talking about things like here's your bio books. You'll see Turkanam boy. How many of you guys have heard of Lucy? Lucy, good. And the Leota footprints. Stephen, are you talking about vestigial organs? Good, excellent. All right, let's take a look at this. What am I doing? Okay. All right. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Am I forgetting anything? Okay. Maybe not. All right. This is the last session that we'll do in here. We got 30 minutes to do it. And then, we'll break up into groups. As of now, we're only going to have 3 groups. So what that means is everyone who signed up for Classifying Life will go with Ms. Henridge to Suffering Loss. Is that okay? Good. If you signed up for Classifying Life, you've been transferred. I'm Dr. Hugh. Transferred to Ms. Henridge's. Classifying Life was Mr. Stacy. So we're switching that to Ms. Henridge's. All right. Good deal? Everyone good with that? Good. All right. Genesis. Here is Adam and Eve. All right? Now this...
Yeah.
I did draw that. Yes, I did. Now, I was going to say, notice this, your ear is on backwards. Yes. We fixed that. We went in the computer and we fixed that. I don't know what I was thinking. It was late night when I drew that. anyway, someone look up Exodus 3, verse 20. When I draw that? A couple weeks ago. And no, that is for, in case anyone's wondering, my mom and dad teach children's church, and I draw the PowerPoints for them, and so that's for the little children to go, "Oh, Adam and Eve." Yay. Okay, Genesis 3:20, someone read it.
Anyone?
Okay, Adam named his wife Eve, why? She became the mother of all the living. You know what that means? Yes, she's our great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. That means every human, including Neanderthals, by the way, which I can't include, I wanted to include in this session, but we can't, are from Eve. Someone read, by the way, do you think Genesis has any effect on what Paul wrote in the New Testament? Yeah, someone read Acts 17. Someone read that.
From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth.
Good. From one man, one blood. That would be Adam. From one man, everyone came, which would be Adam and Eve. Alright? So, reiterating what I said earlier, Genesis does have an effect on Acts. Check it out. Okay. So the thing here, there's several things we're going to talk about. Chimps and humans. We're talking about Lucy. We're talking about that Turkanen boy, whatever his name is, and then several others. Okay, how many of you guys have heard that human and chimp DNA is the same? Or 98.5%? Alright. Evolutionists for the past, oh my goodness, forever, have said, proof of evolution that we evolved from monkeys, that our DNA is 98.5, and they round it up, to 99%, sorry if my voice is dying, 99% of the same. Well, that has just been altered. It's just been changed. And, I know, science changes, really, figure, huh. They now have it down to 95%, or if you round up, 96%. Now, you say, well, that's not that big of a deal, that's not a big of a difference. Actually, it is. That's double the percent difference. Okay? Double the percent difference. Now, what is my point in saying that? Here, let me show you some differences between humans and chimpanzees that you don't hear about. Chromosomes. Chimpanzees have 24 chromosomes. Humans have 23. The chimpanzees overshot when they were evolving. what they say is they say that the chimpanzees, at some point, given enough time. By the way, this is a good excerpt for tomorrow. Today we're talking about evolution, monkeys to man, molecules to man. Tomorrow we're talking about the age of the earth. Evolution without time doesn't exist. Evolution without time. Time is evolution's backbone. That's why millions of years, when you look at the Bible, it's so funny. The kid I was talking about, he became a Christian, his atheist became a Christian. The one thing he said, the Bible teaches that the earth is 6,000 years. I thought, wow, if an atheist can read the Bible and figure out what the Bible teaches about that, how come a lot of Christians can't do that today? Anyway, we'll talk about all that tomorrow. The Bible does teach that the earth is 6,000 years. I'll show you why it teaches that. The Bible is very clear about it. But anyway, evolution without time is useless. Evolutionists need time because it explains their chance. By the way, they say that the 24, they say that two chromosomes combined and made the 23 for humans. This is scientifically flawed. You can go online, read some really technical papers by scientists. It was just way over my head. I couldn't get it all. I didn't know it well enough to teach it. Kilobases. Chimpanzees' telomeres have 23 kilobases of repeats. Humans have 10. Once again, the chimpanzees overshot. Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong. What is it when the cell divides? Mitosis, what is it? Am I correct when saying that those are the telomeres at the end?
Yes.
When it's Okay. What they're saying is when the cell divides, at the end they have these things called telomeres. And the chimpanzees have 23. Don't they look like rings, kind of, sort of? Okay. 23. Humans have 10. So something happened, according to evolutionists, that made it work. Okay. 18 pairs of chromosomes are virtually identical. However, chromosomes 4, 9, and 12 are remodeled. Now, what that means, I think it's so obvious. You know, when God creates things according to their kind, God used the same information, the same building blocks, to create all of life. It's a common designer. And he remodeled those chromosomes 4, 9, and 12 to make them to be their own individual kind. These chromosomes are not in the same order. The Y chromosome has different sizes and has many markers that do not line up with human and chimps. Now, the differences, these differences I just said to you, they're not included in the percent calculations. Don't be fooled. The percent comparisons aren't doing the data justice. What do I mean by that? Well, 95% sounds like a lot, right? Right? It sounds like a lot of DNA that matches up. Well, it depends on what you're comparing. Get this. 95% has been changed to 95 to 96%. Double the difference. Okay. 1.23% of the differences are single base pair substitutions. That's 35 million mutations. 35 million mutations. That's a lot of mutation. That's a lot of difference, isn't it? But it sounds a lot better to say 95%. It sounds a lot better than saying 3 million mutations. But it gets worse for the evolutionists. It gets better for the creationists. 40 to 50 more million bases present in the humans are missing from the chimps, as well as about the same number present in the chimps that are missing from the humans. Now, what does that mean? 35 million DNA pairs are different. 35 million! That's a lot! 45 more million are in the human that are absent from the chimp, and then vice versa. 45 more million are in the chimp that are absent from the human. Isn't that neat? I thought that was cool. Okay, now, similarity does not, I repeat, not mean a common ancestor. What evolutionists do is they look at the chimps and the humans and they say, look, they look so similar. Common ancestor. Well, let me illustrate this. This slide is for Ian. We have here a four-door Jeep Wrangler. Okay? Now, we take a look at that. We also have a four-door Hummer 3. Now, those look similar. But Ian, are they the same?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Different company, different species. Same thing with the humans, right? Look, they both have four doors, four wheels, lights, and same ugly-looking body. But that's okay. They have, yeah, they're both different companies, right? Same way with humans. The humans would obviously be the Jeeps, and the chimps would obviously be the Hummers. And both different species, different companies. It does not mean a common ancestor, but it means a common designer. Designer. Let me give you an example. Here is a Lexus. Does anyone know what that is? Yeah, neither do I. Lexus. Yeah, it's a Lexus. It's red, okay? Here's a Toyota. It's also red. Now, good night. I cannot tell the difference between those cars. I mean, look, this one has a little... I got it. This headlight is moved closer, and that one's separated. That's it. That's got it. I figured it out. Now, they look similar, right? Guess what? Did you know Lexus and Toyota are made and manufactured by the same company? You just pay a lot more for that one because of the name brand. Oh, and the GPS or whatever is plugged into it. So here's the point. They're both made by the same people. Same parts, same everything, practically. Just different species. Yes, you see the point? You see what I'm saying? All right. Not a common ancestor, a common designer. All right. I figured out. This is really bothering me. I was really troubled by this for a long time. The evolution of the utensil. I went to Taco Bell. And I found something that was very disturbing. I found a spoon. And then I also found a fork. And I couldn't grasp how the fork came to be from the spoon. But then I looked a little further, I dug, and I unearthed a fossil, and I found the spork. Yes, I found the missing link between the fork and the spoon. And get this, I was questioning a little bit. I was thinking, well, maybe they all had a common inventor. But then I thought, no, it can't be true. You know why? Because 96% is 96% similar to the fork. That's proof. That's proof right there. It would definitely evolve. Oh, it gets even better. 100% of the same material was used for the spoon and for the fork. Proof, I tell you. I'm telling you. That troubled me, man. Sleep left me for several weeks. The only certainty in the data-poor, imagination-rich, endlessly fascinating field is that there are plenty of surprises left to come. By the way, it's from Time Magazine, How Humans Began. That was an evolutionist. Do you hear what he said? Data poor, imagination rich. So I think I should write a technical journal, scientific article about my spork. Okay, there's three fossil types. There's the eight fossils. Now I talked about, remember the podium? And you look at the podium, and the evidence doesn't change. It changes how you look at it. When you dig up a fossil, there are three different types of ways you can look at it. Number one is you can look at it as an ape fossil that is really an ape. Now, I'm talking from a creationist point of view. What evolutionists do, they'll take a literal ape fossil, such as Lucy, which we're going to look at. Lucy was definitely an ape, and I'll show you why. Lucy was definitely an ape. They'll take features of her that are slightly human-like, not... That's a religion. Apes, but they have one or two human characteristics, and they're amplified. They take those characteristics, and they enlarge them and say, look, transitional fossil. The second type of fossil is the human fossil. And what that is, it's a real human fossil, like the Turkanan boy. What a weird name. Turkanan boy. And he was a real human, and he had a couple of characteristics that were ape-like, and they downgrade him, and they make him look like a transitional fossil. Or... as a creationist, there's a third type of fossil, the ape human fossil. Now what this is when you have a fully ape skeleton, and you take parts of it, say the head, and then you go over to a fully human fossil, remove the human head, and super glue the monkey fossil onto the human fossil. That is an ape fossil. It's truly an ape man. And now granted, it was combined by another human, and they're separate fossils from separate people, but I guess you could claim that as that. You see what I'm saying? Following me? All right. Those can be unintentional, and they can be unintentional. Now, I wrote a paper. By the way, I'm going to give you my paper just because, you know, I did a lot of research on it. No, seriously, it has some really good quotes in it. I wrote a paper about evolution, and I gave it to certain someone. And in the paper, it said, I said that Darwin believed we evolved from monkeys. Oh, no. Not monkeys. No, that's not true. That's a creation myth. Not monkeys. We evolved from apes, this evolutionist said. Apes. I'm thinking, monkeys and apes. Okay. Go read the Descent. Don't go read it when you can. I mean, The Descent of Man by Charles Darwin. He himself claimed that we came from monkeys. Don't ever let an evolutionist say that Darwin never claimed that we evolved from monkeys, because he did. He said the seminata then branched off into two great stems, the New World and the Old World monkeys, and from the latter, a remote period man, the wonder and glory of the universe proceeded. Darwin did indeed claim, despite what people will tell you, that he claimed that we did evolve from monkeys. Analyzing the facts. Now, what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to, during the last session, by the way, the next session you're going to go to, which is with Ms. Morrow, Ms. Henridge, and Mr. Pettit, what you're going to do is they're going to teach you the information for the first half, and the last half you're going to learn it and come back tomorrow during that time, 2 to 3, and teach it to the rest of the group. So everyone's going to get to hear the information, just going to be regurgitated back. You follow me? Now, what we're going to do also during that time tomorrow is analyzing the facts. Here's what I want to teach you guys to do. When evolutionists present you something, now remember, it's based on faith and an interpretation. Say, for instance, tools were found alongside monkeys, and underneath were found human fossils. Now, if I was an evolutionist, I would look at that and say, all right, the tools were found alongside monkeys. The monkeys were evolving, and they used the tools. They were evolving. They were getting smarter. Right? How would, as a creationist, would you look at that differently?
Humans are first, and they're below, and then monkeys, and then the humans are first.
Good. The human fossils are below. The humans used the tools on the monkeys. Same evidence, same facts, radically different interpretation. You following me? One says the monkeys evolved and used the tools. The other one says the humans were below, which I think fits better with the evidence, were below and used the tools on the monkeys. No one was there. It takes faith. It takes interpretation. All right? Follow me? That's what we're going to do tomorrow, a little bit tomorrow. All right. Here it is. I'm going to write this down. Lucy. Australopithecus afarensis. Don't let the big names confuse you at all. I think it means the southern ape. Is that what it means? Could be totally wrong. But anyway, Lucy. Now, look at this. What is Lucy... this is the actual fossil case. What is Lucy missing that's kind of crucial? No hands. Alright? Ooh. Alright. It's only 40% complete. And that's very crucial. Okay, look. The skull and the jaws are primitive even by ape standards. This skull, I'm going to look at it in a minute, is 100% ape. It is definitely ape. Write that down. The skull is primitive, it's small, it's ape. And I'm going to show you. Ape skulls have a shovel face. Shovel face. Here, everyone go like this. Alright, you feel that bone right there? That's a bone that you have in humans that apes don't. How many, where's glasses, right? You're wearing glasses. Apes cannot wear glasses. They don't have this bone right here. They're missing those two bones. It's just a little flabby thing, and you press up on them, and it goes, boop, and it goes up into the face. All right. By the way, it's supposedly over 3 million years old. Like I said, we'll talk about the age of the Earth tomorrow. The knee joint has a high carrying angle. This gets evolutionists excited. Now, let me explain the carrying angle. Okay, for instance, our legs are, they're not perfectly straight. They're shaped. Inward, yeah, so I can carry. Now, for instance, if my leg was straight and I lifted this leg up, I'd fall over. You follow me? Right? I'd collapse. So therefore, we have to have a carrying angle. Now, that's important. I'll show you why. Okay. Now, Lucy did not have actual hands, but if she did, this is what they would look like. This is actually rare. Discover Magazine put this on there. Very rare. Now, there's many other there's many other skeletons that are classified in Lucy's category, but we kind of use the name Lucy to apply to them all. Look at these hands. These are fossils from other classifications of apes. Look at these things. These are curved. The difference between human fingers and ape fingers is very simple. We have straight phalange. Theirs are curved radically. Why? When you're swinging as an ape, like you're designed to do, they're curved, and they come in very useful for that. This is a quote from an anthropology journal. It says, there is no evidence that any primate has long, curved, heavily muscular hands and feet for any purposes other than to meet the demands for full and part-time arboreal life. You know what he's saying? Lucy's hands are curved because why? She was arboreal. She swung in the trees. She was a monkey. Very interesting. Look at the skull. Shovel face going down. Okay? And no bones here. Just a little flap. That's Lucy's skull. Alright? Definitely, ape. Chimp. What would make evolutionists excited about this skull? Well, right here, we have enamel on them. Humans have thick enamel. Monkeys in general don't. Ah, enamel! Missing link. Okay. You have orangutans. Write this down. You have orangutans that have more enamel in their teeth and other monkeys living today. Some monkeys have more enamel in their teeth than present humans do now. You can't argue for something that we observe in present monkeys today as evidence for a missing link. You can't do that. That's ridiculous. Okay, here's the difference between a skull human and ape human. See the little flab there? Whoop. Okay, that's key. There's other many huge differences. Okay, Leota footprints, Leotoi. I love this. This is great. They go hand in hand in your textbook. If you look at them, they're side by side. Evolutionists are 110% convinced that Lucy walked on these footprints. Now, let's take a look at these footprints. It's a trail 73 feet long, consisting of 20 larger footprints and 27 smaller ones on it. Now, they're dated to about 3.5 to 4 million years old. Now, the funny thing is they unearthed them under a thin piece of dirt, right? And today, since the time they've actually discovered them, they're having the hardest time in the world preserving the footprints. What it was is volcanic ash that was laid down, and after it's wet, when someone walks across it, it fossilizes. Now, my big thing is they've actually had to recast them again to preserve them. My whole thing is, you know, they're having such a hard time now, I wonder how they lasted millions and millions of years. Anyway, if you look over here, here's a cast from them. Now, how many of you guys have flip-flops? Good. Don't take your shoes off, but if you have flip-flops, look at your foot. Your toe aligns perfectly with the rest of your foot. Am I correct? Well, I mean, not perfectly, but pretty close. Right? Follow me? Look. Look at this toe. Look at it going down. It's a human footprint. Let me show you the difference. Yeah, whoa is right. Look at this. Let me go again. Just for effect. By the way, this is an article about the evolution of man. Look at this. Ooh. Okay? You follow me? These are definitely human footprints. In fact, evolutionists admit this. There is no mistake about it. They are like modern human footprints. I think that's really funny. Now, the big question. Wait, here, let me go on. Here's the knee. Talking about the carrying angle. The knee. Oh, by the way, I'll come back to it. They have to believe, because the dating methods, which we'll talk about tomorrow, the dating methods, they have to believe that Lucy was the one that walked and made those footprints. Okay, now look. Here's the carrying angle. By the way, your knee joint is irreducibly complex. Very technical paper. You can go on and read about that. Okay, here's... Lucy has a 15% carrying angle. Write that down. 15%. Humans have a... Degrees. My bad. Thank you. Degrees. Humans have a 9-degree carrying angle. Once again, we're overshot. I don't understand why they get excited about this. Because look, gorillas and chimps have a 0-degree carrying angle. And then orangutans have a 9 degree, and a spider monkey has a 9 degree. Here's my point. You cannot argue that that is a transitional link because of its carrying angle when chimpanzees today have the same exact carrying angle as a human. You see what I'm saying? You can't argue it. That's dumb logic. Does everyone have that? Okay, good. Here's another quote. The American Journal. The knee of the smaller Hadar hominid species possesses no modern trait to a pronounced degree. The overall structure of the knee is compatible with a significant degree of arboreal locomotion. Okay. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. This is hilarious. Let me explain. I'll show you why. Here's a chimp hip and a human hip. The difference is the chimpanzees are lateral. See how they're going across? Like this. All right. Perfect for arboreal life. Perfect for swinging the trees, running around, doing whatever monkeys do. Perfect. They cannot walk. Humans walk differently than any other animal in the world because we're different. Humans walk straight like this. Monkeys cannot do that. A human hip, instead of going lateral, it goes down. Your ischions, they go down the side like this. And they're perfect for walking straight, right? So the question is, what kind of hip does Lucy have? Clever. Lucy, this is from the Anthropology Journal. The marked resemblance of AL2881, Lucy, to the chimpanzee is equally obvious. Lucy, if you look at her hip, has a chimpanzee hip. So my question is this. When you're in class, raise your hand and ask this question. If she has a chimpanzee hip, which she does, and evolutionists agree with that, how in the world can she make those Laota footprints walking on the volcanic ash? Lucy is definitely 100% a chimpanzee. Now, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm not even kidding. This is so funny. Okay, I'm going to show you guys. Okay. PBS, liberal, did a broadcasting on Nova about the Lucy fossil. And they asked the question, we're having a hard time understanding this because we know Lucy can't walk straight because of her hips. So how do we fix the problem? Well, let me show you what they did. Now, I'll pause it several times to show you.
We know in what Joe's expertise again, because the evidence wasn't quite adding up.
Did you hear that? The evidence wasn't quite adding up. Okay, he said the knee looked human, and we just talked about the carrying angle. That's what he's talking about on the knee. It's definitely, you can't argue that. He said, but the hip didn't, so here's what the... Okay, this is from a lecture. Let me show you. Okay, now what he's saying is, he says, superficially, the hip looks like a chimpanzee's. But we know that can't happen because we believe in evolution and we have to have the transitional fossil. And so on the back of the fossil, there's an indention, so we think something stepped on it. And watch this. As soon as he gets done, it clicks back in. He said, "Who is responsible for damaging the hip?" All right, you see the deer foot stepping on the hip? Because they know full and well it's a deer. All right, watch. Okay, did you hear that? He says, it would appear that these fit together so well that it would be in an anatomically impossible position for it to walk like a human. So he says, this looks like a chimpanzee's hip, but what are we going to do about it? He said you could read a newspaper through the hole. He said it looked like a chimp's, but now after he remodels it, it looks a lot like ours. Well, duh, you took a power saw to it. Anyway, the point is, how ridiculous is that? I mean, seriously, how ridiculous is that? Isn't that the most, I mean, do you see him, like, sawing off that stuff? Isn't that the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life? And it fits together so perfectly. And you can just, like, crumble and you can see the cracks together. Anyway. Okay, moving on. Long story short, Lucy is definitely an 8 because of her hip, her skull, her knee, and the fossil. Despite what anyone says. All right, we're going to finish quickly. 5 minutes, we're done. Turkanen boy. Dated 1.7 million years ago. There's a huge classification confusion. If you look at your captions on your textbook, it seems scientists don't know where to put them. They're in a turmoil about it. Gee, I wonder why. Scientists disagree. He walked fully upright. He had a brain capacity smaller than normal. So they say, ah, his brain's small. That means he's a missing link. Well, there are many people alive today with smaller sizes heads and smaller brain capacities than this fossil has. Why aren't they missing links instead? I don't know. It seems like whoever decided to put that in there has a small brain capacity indeed. All right. Proofs of evolution. Piltdown man. Piltdown man was discovered in Sussex, England. Sussex. Yes. Oh, wow. How to do that? Let me get back. All right. On this slide, we're going to read very quickly. Okay. Human skulls were found with an ape-like jaw, two canine teeth, elephant fossils, mastodon fossils, rhinoceros, hippopotamus fossils, beaver fossils, and deer fossils. They're all found in this one location. And they found the skull, human of the skull, and they found this fossil that had an ape-like jaw. Ah, the missing link. So guess what happens? There's pictures of it. It was made into casts and circulated to every museum in the world. Proof. Whoa. Proof that man evolved from monkeys. Look, it's in textbooks, because anything that's in textbooks is 100% the truth, right? Textbooks. There he is. Look at that. Look at that guy. He's so cute. Until 1953. Kenneth Oakley, Joseph Wiener, I don't know how you pronounce that. I changed my name. And Wilfred D. Gross Clark. They exposed the skull to fraud. Yeah. The skull cap was human, but the lower jaw fragments, including the teeth, were from juvenile female orangutans. In fact, they were chemically treated to match the skull, and they were filed down. The pit contained bones from Malta and Tunisia, and artificial aberrations on the teeth, file marks, were made. Here's the point. Oh, by the way, canine teeth were also filed to the pulp cavity to fit the skull. So you had a canine, orangutan, and human all in one. The fossils have been locked in a vault, just like they are today. Only the castings were available to study. And it took 40 years to prove it was a fraud. Here's my point. In science, you should be able to question things, right? You should be able to critically think. Evolution does not allow that to happen. 40 years to prove it was a fake. 40 years. Think about it. How many people were deterred from their faith in God because of this proof of evolution? How sad would it be for those 40 people that when they die in that 40-year time span, when they die and they come before God, and they say, well, I didn't believe in you because of Piltdown Man. And many chose not to. And then God says, well, look, in 1953, it was discovered as a fraud. May God be true and every man a liar. Nebraskan Man. Harold Cook found a single molar tooth in Nebraska. He takes it to the leading paleontologist for Natural Museum of Natural History. By the way, just because people have a nice title doesn't mean they're really intelligent. Although, this guy was smart. And this smart guy says it's an ape man. He wasn't smart in this area. He says it's an ape man, and look what happens. Here's the tooth, but later it was found from an extinct pig tooth. It wasn't even a human tooth. And in fact, to the shame of the scientific community, 1972, the extinct pig was found living. here's my point. No matter who says it, no matter if the leading scientist says it, which back at that time period, this was proof of evolution, yet later it was discovered as a fraud. Not a fraud, but more of an unintentional, I don't know if it was unintentional or intentional, more of a mishap. At the Scopes trial in 1925, evidence that Stephen talked about, remember embryonic recapitulation? How do you pronounce that? It was thrown out by evolutionists. Yet, during the time of the Scopes trial, things like Nebraska man, Piltdown man, embryonic recapitulation, all those things were presented as proof of evolution. Yet guess what? Now they're thrown out by evolutionists today. Science always changes. If you leave from this conference with nothing else, remember this. Science changes, but every word of God is flawless. And as Jesus said, not a single word will pass away. Not a single word, but it'll all be forever, including eternity.